In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Yesterday marked the 26th anniversary of my own ordination into the office of the Holy Ministry. I don't know if I've learned as much as I should have in those years, but some things I have learned. And one of those is this, that the human heart is a mass of conflict. Oh, we want to be seen by others as being all those things that we wish we were. Strong in faith, steadfast in hope, certain of who we are in Christ. How we struggle to keep our deepest, darkest fears and doubts and uncertainties out of the public view. And if possible, out of God's view. The past with its failures so seems to shape the present that it darkens the future. Our minds might comprehend some things, but sometimes our heart, the very deepest part of us, does not. You know, God commanded Isaiah to, as the ESV says, speak tenderly to Jerusalem, and as most English translations say it, doesn't capture the words. He was commanded to speak to the heart of Jerusalem. The prophet was not to speak to the intellect or reason, but to the heart. You see, true comfort never comes from within us. It comes from outside. And it doesn't penetrate just into the mind, but it goes to that very deepest part of us, the very heart of the human being. Let me ask you something, maybe an un-Lutheran question. How is your heart doing today? Sometimes the troubles of life seem to be so overwhelming, and that's so whether those troubles come because of our own sinful choices or simply because we live in a fallen, broken, and hurting world. And that conflict within us affects us so deeply. We question and even charge God with injustice, of bringing about our sufferings. Oh, we don't say those things to others, do we? And we may not even say them to God. But somewhere deep within your heart, in my heart, are questions that we're afraid to speak. Those who first heard Isaiah lived with many things that their minds could comprehend, and it brought fear within the heart. There was Assyria. Coming was Babylon. All because of their sin, these great disasters about to fall upon them. Comfort to the heart. So Isaiah speaks of things that contradict what their intellect could tell them. He says this, and notice the tense. Cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Already, even in the midst of this world's conflict, they had received these things. Never let your mind and eye fool you. Though you struggle in sinful flesh, as we all do, yet God has declared you to already be at peace with him because your sin is removed and his blessings are abundantly poured out upon you, double for all your sins. He will tend you like a shepherd. He will gather you in his arms. He will carry you in his bosom and gently lead you. And yet, We know this in our minds, but sometimes deep in that heart, that center part of us, where is that shepherd that's made those promises? Let's be honest. Sometimes God seems to be far and distant from us. And when he is, our hearts cannot know peace. I'll never forget at the Pentagon after September 11th, an FBI agent who came out of the wreckage with a child shoe. Broken man looked at me and he said, "Chaplain, where is God?" Oh, what a question. A question that penetrates right to the very central need of those created in his image. For without the Creator, nothing makes sense. 2,000 years ago, a man by the name of John appeared on the scene. Oh, how he must have appeared to others. Something of a madman, dressed strangely, eating odd food. Certainly lacking in people skills as he looks at them and calls them a brood of vipers. What are the odds of him getting through the pastoral suitability gauntlet we have today? But he came to people who were asking a question that every human being asks. Where is God? He was that voice that cried in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, making straight in the desert a highway for our God. By the Jordan River, he saw one standing in the crowd. And among all of them, he knew. And those words of John forever ring, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Or in the words of Isaiah, "Behold your God." There is God, not separate and distant. Not some far-off heaven just kind of watching what goes on in this world as if it were some sort of a bad sitcom. Not surrounded by the glory and majesty that is his from eternity. No, there he is, incarnate, flesh and blood, brother to the human race. He who created the world did not spurn this world, but embraced us and took us into himself. He is there to redeem the human race. Where is God? He is there at the Jordan. He is there in an upper room holding bread and wine in his hands and giving it to his friends. "This is my body. This is my blood." He's there in a garden. He's there at a trial. He is there at Calvary. God nailed to a cross. He is there, his blood pouring out, his friends denying him, betraying him, turning from him. He is there when he cries out, "It is finished." There is the God for whom your heart cries out. He is there with you in your suffering. He is there when your heart questions, when doubts assail, when all the world turns against you. He's there because you are his, redeemed, made his own. To know him, to know where he is to know certainty that overcomes even our heart's deepest fears. All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, and the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, But the word of our God will stand forever. Oh, it's true that all that we have and all that we do has a big old expiration date stamped on it. A century from now, few, if any of us in Cramer Chapel this morning will be remembered by anybody, even our own descendants. From that perspective, the things that seem so important that our mind and intellect tell us are a priority for the moment will be seen for what they really are: transitory, temporary, and nothing. Only one thing endures: the word of our God. And it is that word that makes all the difference. It is that word that says that your life is not your own, here on earth or into eternity. You have been changed forever because you have been bought with the price of God's own Son. You have been changed forever because God has not only caused you to die with him in baptism, but he has raised you to eternal life through that water. Your life is not conquered by this world. It is not conquered by the grave. Because he lives, you too will live. He who is life, life itself, is your comfort, who feeds you with himself. Now you live a life of faith. Your mind tells you things as you look around the world, and so many things are now hidden to you. Around the throne of heaven, someday though, you and I will stand with those who even now celebrate what he has done. Then we can change the tense of that last verse. Right now we live by faith, then we will say, he tended me like a shepherd. He gathered me in his arms. He carried me in his bosom. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.